Good morning and welcome to this week's Up and Running. Coming up on this morning's show, I'm going to be speaking with James Doherty, and he is the Managing Director of Sleevely Distillers in Ardra in County Donegal. We're also going to be joined by Peter Timlin, and he and his business partner Richard Grimes have a company called Pure Clothing.
Up and Running with Claire Ronan on Ocean FM.
And this morning we're up in Ardra, beautiful part of Donegal, and I'm delighted to be joined by James Doherty. James is the Managing Director of Sleevely Distillers. Good morning, James, and thank you very much for joining us on this morning's show.
Claire, fantastic to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, well, if you don't mind, I'm actually going to take you back and ask you to share with the listeners the stories of your childhood holidays in Donegal and why you came up with this original idea.
Gosh, yes. Well, as any kind of first generation Irishman sort of growing up in England, you know, mum and dad being Irish and then growing up in England, you came home and you spent your summer was spent on the farm here in Kilcar, actually, with, you know, on my gran's place. And you lived like feral kids for like 10 weeks and you know, had a great time sort of on the farm, playing farm, you know, driving tractors and goodness knows what else. But essentially, I went off to university after that and got with all these rose-tinted memories and was working in agriculture initially, but then went into spirits and joined William Grant & Sons, who owned Glenfiddich and Balvenie and Hendrick's Gin. And bizarrely, I came over to Ireland, hitchhiked over, and my gran gave me my granddad's poitine recipe. And I'm sure there's a few people that can tell that story. But she died shortly afterwards, and I have 72 first cousins, and she never gave it to anyone else. So part of this is about that kind of legacy and sort of inheriting that and doing something now in a modern context with it. But also in 2010, we were over here on holiday, and Moira and I were picking dullisk with my auntie. And Moira, at the time I was working with Hendrick's Gin, and Moira said, had anyone ever used that in alcohol? And at the time, no one had. And so out of that came our gin, Andulaman, which is a gin of the sea. It captures Dreochnafaringa, the magic of the sea, but it has five seaweeds in it, essentially.
Gosh, that's fantastic. So that sort of started you with the idea. Was that when the idea started to get formed in your head?
They did. And at that stage, I was still kind of in the corporate world and wanting to sort of climb that corporate ladder. But there always comes a point in that where you kind of get a little bit disillusioned with it. And Moira and I were talking about distilleries. This gin idea had grown into something else. And then the idea of bringing back smoky Irish whiskies, the taste of rural Ireland, you know, to sort of reclaim Irish whiskey back from the sort of city-based flavors of today, seems like a, you know, a really strong idea. And the fact that there was more illicit distillers in Donegal than pretty much any other county of Ireland, and yet there was no legitimate distilling presence here today, and that was sort of back in 2010, 2011, we felt like this was a challenge worth picking up and one that we might be able to create opportunities to give people a choice, you know, to stay and not have to leave like my mum did in the 1960s to look for work in England.
Yes, and you have 21 people employed now, so you really have proven that.
It's kind of doing what it's meant to do. It's been extraordinarily kind of rewarding seeing that happen. And I knew from my time at Glenfiddich that, you know, distilleries in rural areas of Scotland, they create employment and opportunity for you know, hundreds of years if you do them well. And I suppose the other thing with a distillery is it kind of every job in a distillery creates potentially 10 jobs around it in the community, in, you know, support structures, whether it's engineering or marketing or sales or something like that. So we're on the journey. It's, I guess, we're close to the end of the beginning as opposed to the end of the game, if you like. Mm.
So your product base has grown a lot. You started with the gin.
We started with the gin in 2017, and we have a 500 litre copper pot still called Maeve, which is She Who Intoxicates, and Moira distills a gin there, and in that gin we have 11 botanicals, and we capture Dreochnafaringa, so the magic of the sea, using five seaweeds, one of which is the truffle of the sea, a beautiful, intense almost like garlic chorizo type taste that we only pick on a full moon. So we'll be out this Saturday picking that. That gin is now in 23 countries, I think it is, around the world. So it's a little bit of Donegal getting out there.
That's fantastic. Sorry, I have to go back. Sorry, what did you say? You have to pick at a full moon?
So we pick, so we only harvest pepper dulce, which is the truffle of the sea. We only harvest it on a full moon. And that's because the full moon gives you the lowest tides. And it's the smallest of the seaweeds that we harvest. And so you need as much time as possible. So the full moon gives us the lowest tide and therefore the longest time to follow the tide out, picking the seaweed or cutting the seaweed, actually, because you don't want to pick it off the rocks. And then we get chased back in by the tide. So it's about time to harvest, really.
Gosh, that's fantastic. And how many countries did you say? 23?
So it's in 23 countries actively selling at the moment. It's not in the US yet, which would be a big prize, but it's in countries from Australia to South Africa to Korea to Germany to the UK, you know, Canada. So, you know, pretty much all the continents of the world are there.
That is fantastic. Now, tell me then about the whisky. This is very interesting. Start me on the journey of the smell of your grandfather's, was it his pipe?
So the whole thing for me is that the taste of Irish whisky today, the Jamesons, the Tullamore Dews and things like that, they're really the taste of the city. They're the taste of the 1960s and onwards. But if you go back to sort of 1900 and you go back to rural Ireland, the taste was smoky and you get this dry, smoky taste in those kind of whiskies. So what we've done is brought that back in a modern context. And so through the Silkies, which is our blend and tells the mermaid legend of the Donegal coast, you know, the Gaelic legend. So we bring that back to life with whiskies that are progressively smokier. So the legendary Silky, which is the first in the release, just has a hint of smoke. It's got this soft, buttery sweetness and then just a gentle smoke at the back of your throat at the end, which is just kind of a gentle introduction. But the dark Silky, which is where my heart lies, is inspired by 11-year-old me wandering around Gran's kitchen with Grandad's pipe. And it used to be we used to get up in the morning before him and sneak his pipe out, and it would be cold and it would have that sweet tobacco and ashy kind of taste. And we've gone to recreate that in the whiskey. So we have this super dark Silky, has this super sort of salted caramel sweetness, kind of a taste a bit like baked apples. And then it has this wonderful pipe tobacco smoke overlay, which is just wonderfully warm and comforting and takes me back to that time. But it also tells the tale of the whiskies that we're making in Ardrahar, which are kind of strong, you know, profoundly smoky but soft in texture.
Yes, how many whiskies are you making, James?
So the Silkies, there are three. So three that are in the core release. So we have Legendary Silky, which is just a hint of smoke. They have Dark Silky, which is the much more profoundly smoky. And then we have the Midnight Silky, which is the smokiest of them all. So we take you on a journey of smoke for those. And they've all won kind of category champion at various competitions. So they're all kind of recognized and well awarded. And then in Ardrahar, we make two types of whiskey in our own distillery, which will be ready in 2025. And they are a single malt that's heavily peated, so heavily smoky, and a pot still that takes a Donegal twist on a 1920s recipe for whiskey. So it has peated malted oats in it. It's absolutely divine, I have to say.
It sounds fantastic, very tempting, but it's a little bit early in the morning to be thinking of that. And James, how is this whiskey business going? How many countries are you going to be selling it into?
So we're exporting now. The Silkies are into 40 countries of the world, so they're a little bit wider distribution than the Andulaman gin. We have distribution in 41 states of America, all the provinces of Canada, South Africa, Australia, Korea, Hong Kong, Thailand, plus, you know, in Europe you have France and Germany and Spain, Hungary, Czech Republic. So we're doing very well in terms of getting a footprint out there across the world. The business, COVID was, for us, has been kind of a bit of a blessing in disguise, really. So we doubled the first year in COVID, doubled in size. We then tripled in size the last year, and we've already tripled in size this year. So we've still got a bit of a way to go. So the smoky whiskey journey, which at the time we started it seemed like a really hard battle, it does feel like the world is ready to accept it. The judges in competitions like it. And the trade, I think, are looking for something new and different. And why not have something new and different from the northwest of Ireland?
Absolutely. And, you know, even when you say of the countries it is in, you know, 40 different countries, I mean, there's so many Donegal people all over the world, you know, and people from the northwest. It's lovely to have a little part of Ireland as a gift or to enjoy your smoky whiskey. James, will you stop there or do you think you'll bring out more products?
We've got some more silkies to come out, so you'd be surprised if I just stopped there, Claire, but to be honest. But yeah. We've got a red silky coming out in September, so we have some seasonal releases that are sort of interesting, kind of tell a story of Donegal. So we have the red silky, which tells the story of the journey of Red Hugh from Kinsale down to Galicia and then into Simancas, where he died, unfortunately. But and so we use Ribera del Duero casks and Rioja red wine casks to give it a real sort of rich sweetness. So we'll do some more of those kind of things as we go forward. I have a few ideas around other brands that we'd like to do, and we're actually testing my granddad's Pochin recipe next week. And with the gin, Moira's been exploring our time in Asia. We lived in Hong Kong for a number of years, so she's been sort of looking at Asian flavors to bring them alive within Andulaman as well. And she's working on also she's born in Zimbabwe, in Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, so she's going to looking at recipes that include things from her childhood in Africa. So some exotic things to go with that sort of Donegal story. And for that Donegal community out there, you mustn't forget that the air in the top of the bottle is all pure Donegal.
Absolutely, which makes it so attractive. And James, what your setup now, you've a visitor centre as well.
So we have a visitor centre in Ardra. It's it has tours daily, Monday to Saturday at 10, 12, 2 and 4. So you get a tour of the working distillery. You get to taste the whiskies. There's a gift shop too, but you get to hear the story about why Donegal, why Ardra, and the fact that we've taken an unusual process in that we've taken effectively an illicit distilling process and we've modernised it and made it legal, which is, I think, we're the only distillery in the island that does that.
That is a fascinating story. There's been a lot of interest in distilleries, Irish distilleries from the Chinese market, hasn't there?
There has. I mean, China's a phenomenal market. And what's interesting, I think, is that the Chinese market, the Chinese generally love history. You know, they're very respectful of history and tradition. And obviously their own culture is massive in that sense. And Irish whiskey, interestingly, now is the oldest whiskey distilling country because it was, you know, we taught the Scots how to do it. And it's also the newest in that you've got all us young distillers doing new things, exciting things, going back into history to come up with innovative new ways of making things. So it's ripe for us to be talking to the Chinese. And in fact, I had a morning call with them on Tuesday with our sort of importers there trying to expand what we do there.
Because that would really make a difference to your business. It's a huge market.
It is a huge market. They are very kind of wedded to Scotch at the moment. So it's an education piece. It's probably a little bit slower. The biggest opportunity is obviously the US. And for us at the moment, the US would be probably 40-odd% of our business. We're lucky to have an importer, Henry Price, there who loves family-owned businesses. He's a superb kind of lots of history. But I think you look at those Asian markets and those big economies out there and you can see the center of the world's economy, economic power moving that way. So, you know, building kind of luxury brands, if you like, in Irish whiskey is certainly a thing that has got to have traction. It's going to work. You know it will.
Yes, it most and well done, because it's providing great employment. It's a great business here. I have had Hazelwood, you know, the Aharu whiskey that's made here in Sligo, and they've just been sold. Actually, the whole distillery was sold. You wouldn't be thinking along those lines.
I suppose that, you know, my view is that I never want to sell, but I'm also clear that I've got investors that need a return, and so somehow I have to give that to them at some point in the next 4 or 5 years. which I'd hope to not have to sell to do it. So I'm hoping to build the business in a slightly different way that gives us more opportunity. But you can see that sort of the strength of what Lochgill built when, you know, the likes of Sazerac, you know, one of the biggest distillers in the world, are coming in and buying that. And, you know, they'll make that the home of Paddy Irish whiskey. So that's going to bring in a huge amount of tourism to the Northwest. And that's got to be a good thing, especially when you look at the team that they're building there. It's going to be superb. So I think that's really good for the whole of the Northwest. Ultimately, I'd kind of, you know, I don't want to sell. I want to build a great business for the long term, but you never know what's, you know, you don't know what's around the corner these days. I'm sure the guys at Lochgill didn't either.
Well, I think what you're doing is wonderful, and it's great to see a little part of Donegal going all over the world. Just one final question. How important are duty-free for you in the different airports? Is that a very big, important part of the business?
It will be. So it isn't at the moment for us. So we have a travel retail presence at the moment in Dublin, which is, I mean, Dublin always has a fantastic selection of whiskies anyway, and they've been wonderful supporters for us with the Silky and Andulaman, and so we do quite well there. And we're in a few other airports around the world, but it's not a big piece for us. And obviously, duty-free was massive pre-COVID, and the world has changed in a very, you know, so it's really finding its feet again. It'll be really interesting to see what happens and how duty-free comes back and what its shape looks like. But I can't see it not being important to us. I think it was probably one of the three or four biggest markets in the world for Irish whiskey. And with us being premium, a sort of luxury play in that space, you'd think we would do well there. But it's, you need to build a domestic place first for the duty-free retailers to want you. And we're only just starting that journey, really.
Well, the best of luck on the journey. And we will come back in. I mean, we've spoken before, and I have a feeling we'll be speaking again. Now, may I just ask you, have you a website, James, that anyone who would be interested maybe in getting some of the whiskey to try it themselves or send it away? What's the website?
So, yeah, www.sleeveleaguedistillers.com, and there's a shop on there, and it's Sleeve League spelled the Irish way. And if you look at Facebook or Instagram, you can, or Twitter even, you can find us at Ardra Distillery or at sleeveleaguedistillers.com, and all of those will find us.
Okay, there you go. And if you fancy a good day out and go up and have a tour of the distillery, you can also do that. Well, James Doherty, it has been an absolute pleasure to speak to you this morning. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on this morning's Up and Running.
Claire, you're so kind. Thank you for having us.
Up and Running with Claire Ronan on Ocean FM.
And this morning we have a friend of Up and Running. You may remember we had Peter Timlin on before. He and his business partner Richard Grimes have a business, pureclothing.ie. Good morning, Peter, and thank you very much indeed for joining us on this morning's show.
Hi, Claire. Thanks a million for having me.
I love getting back to businesses that have been successful, and anyone who was listening on the day that you were on would have been, like myself, banking on the fact that you were going to be successful. But where you differ, Peter, from a lot of other clothing businesses is you are running a sustainable brand called Pure Clothing. Now, will you just explain to the listeners what that actually means?
Exactly. So our garments, they're all made of organic cotton and recycled polyester. And then we operate with a fully circular model as well. So we take any of our items that are damaged or maybe just a bit old and at the end of their life cycle, and we upcycle or repair them for free. So that keeps them just away from the landfill and in use for longer, which is great for the environment. So the focus of us is to really produce high quality clothing that lasts the test of time, just to avoid, you know, that overconsumption that would be associated with fast fashion.
What amazes me about fast fashion, and anyone who's a regular listener to the show will know we've spoken about it a good few times, is how aware your age group are, Peter, probably more than mine, about the landfill and how much water is needed to make a pair of jeans and how dangerous fashion is to the environment. Is that why you set up this business?
Definitely. So fast fashion is the second highest polluting industry in the world. And even in recent weeks, you'll see the effects that climate change are having on, very, very real effects that it's having on the world at the minute. So, back in 2017, my father, he had a drapery business that had a huge focus on long-lasting, high-quality garments. But fast fashion would have sort of put him out of business. So it's always been a passion of mine to try and go into the sustainable fashion business and address some of the problems that exist there. But yeah, I think it's 1.2 billion tons of CO2 that the industry emits every year. So we just looked at it as a huge problem, and obviously the effects for our generation of climate change and global warming will be very real. So I guess we just wanted to play whatever part we could and maybe tackle the problem.
Peter, you've had some great news recently, more locally based, but your clothes are being displayed in a more local area. Tell us about that.
At the end of May, yeah, we launched in EJ Menswear. So that's the local Sligo retailer who would be one of the largest independent retailers in Ireland. So that's obviously huge for us.
It is, and they're always ahead of the posse in EJ's menswear. They're fantastic. Okay, do you mind just telling us about the Restore with Pure initiative? Because it's really very interesting.
Yeah, so the Restore with Pure program is rolled out to EJ customers as well, and our customers in Ireland. It's any Pure clothing item that's just damaged or it's just a bit old and worn and it's not really fit for purpose anymore. If you send our customers are able to send those items back to us free of charge for us to maybe turn them into something new, like a tote bag or whatever you like, or maybe a pencil case or something like that, just to make sure the material is kept in use for something that is of use and kept away from the landfill, like I said. So yeah, we really just want to focus on keeping our products in use for as long as possible. Just to try and extend that lifespan.
You were awarded Best Project in Natural Environment at the Business Spirit Awards. You must have been delighted with that. You deserved it.
I suppose, yeah. Of all the awards that we have gotten in relation to the business, that was definitely probably my personal favourite, just to have the validation of what we're doing in terms of sustainability, which is to the core of everything that we do. That was really huge for us, I guess. All the other accolades are nice, but the sustainability angle is why we got started and really trying to tackle the problem. So to see the validation of that was really big for us.
And Peter, you know, your clothes are good quality and they're very cool and really lovely clothes. Do you suspect that a large proportion of your customers are buying the clothes for fashion or because it's sustainable?
I think, obviously, given the quality of our products and how sustainable the production is, obviously that brings a higher unit cost and our products are that bit more expensive. But we believe that our products are an investment. So I think the customer believes that too. I think they buy our products because they know that they're made to last and they know that the quality they're getting. Obviously, we put a focus on sustainable design as well. So we don't launch new collections very often. We try and be very strategic about how we do that because we're conscious of the fact that we don't want to overproduce, which contributes to the problem. But yeah, we're very selective with our ranges and we try and make them as stylish as possible, and that really seems to be received well by the customer as well.
Peter, another thing, sorry, I've loads of questions for you this morning. You're very successful on social media. How important do you think that is, the use of social media for businesses?
Well, it's been the bread and butter of what we've achieved. We launched on TikTok in April 2020 and our first couple of videos were reaching over 100,000 views, which was huge validation for our concept. And off the back of that, then we just drove on. And we built our online audience to over 80,000 people now, which is really just massive for us. Community is a big part of what we do, and so having that community there is really what drives us on, and that is largely online. So yeah, it's been central to everything we've achieved, and through Instagram and through TikTok and through Facebook, we really try to engage with our community as much as possible because it's them who have put us in the fortunate position that we find ourselves in now.
Your dad must be very proud.
Yeah, he tries to help out still when he can. He was a great help in the beginning. Just to he knew a lot about the industry and the do's and don'ts, so that was very helpful. So yeah, he's happy to still be in the trade.
Well, that is fantastic, Peter. Every time we talk, you go from strength to strength. So, what are the immediate plans for the future? Just at the moment.
So we're working on our new launch, which will be coming in October time. So we have a lot of exciting products as part of that. They'll be launching across all our sales channels. So our website, EJ's and Arnott's. And then, we are renovating an old 1990 Toyota Lydus into Ireland's first mobile pop-up shop. So that'll be really exciting as well. And we're looking forward to launching that. So we'll be in different locations around the country over Christmas time and selling and, just creating a bit of a buzz around that.
Well, that is very, very, very good idea because I see it everywhere, all over Sligo, Donegal, Leitrim, Dublin. You know, those vans that are selling coffee and food and they can move to different events. Of course, it's only natural that if you do it with clothes, it will be very successful. I'm sure you're hoping anyway.
Fingers crossed. Now, it was the coffee vans seemed to really become popular over that lockdown. So we just said we really love the idea and we love the adventure aspect that we could build into it as well. So we said it would definitely be worth a shot for us. So, we've documented that whole process of us renovating the van on our Instagram and our TikTok profiles. So you can check that out and see some of the work that we've done. But, it's really exciting.
Brilliant. It's all good news. Peter, anyone who's interested in having a look at your clothes, how would they have a look at it?
They can find us on our website on www.pureclothing.ie or call in store to EJ Menswear in Sligo or Arnott's Department Store on Henry Street in Dublin, and you can check us out there.
Well, that is fantastic. Peter, thanks so much for coming back on the programme, and we are wishing both you and your business partner, Richard Grimes from pureclothing.ie, the very best of luck, and hopefully when we get on to you in the next couple of months, you'll have more good news.
Definitely, Claire. Thanks a million now for your time as well. Really appreciate it.
That's it for this week's Up and Running. Thanks to all my guests this morning, and most importantly, thanks to you for listening. Niall Delaney is up next with the best of this week's Northwest Today. If you would like to listen back to any of this show, you can go to oceanfm.ie, click podcast, or you can also find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Ocean FM Ireland. Until next week, thanks for listening.